a lot of recruiting businesses will become AI-enabled, AI-first businesses, right? So,
but they'll have to.
It's an existential thing, right? Think you are doing executive search and you, when LinkedIn came around, you decided, oh, this is a fad, right? Like, I'm not going to use LinkedIn, right? Like, I'm good with my Rolodex, right? Like, I've done this 30 years. Maybe those, we don't know anybody like that today because they probably went out of business.
Welcome to the Resilient Recruiter Podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Recruiter Flow.
Forget everything that we've built, right? If we were building Recruiter Flow today, if we were founders today, how would we build it? And we started coming up with these really crazy ideas. It's like, what's stopping us from building that? Because now we have so, I mean, we are not starting today. We have so much, you know,
resources,
right? Like, yeah. So let's do this and let's do this super duper fast.
Recruiter Flow is an AI-first ecosystem for scaling your recruitment business. It's equipped with ATS, CRM, sequencing, outreach automation, and advanced reporting capabilities, and most importantly, the most extensive suite of AI agents built specifically for recruiters.
We are not a point solution, right? Like, so it's like a whole bunch of different things, right? Like, so you get business intelligence reporting, sequencing, marketing automation, AI note taker. You get an all integrated system in one place instead of buying, you know, five different vendors and stitching together solutions and, like, you know, having data silos. And whenever somebody new joins in, they have five different tools to learn instead of just one very easy, simple, integrated software.
Today, I'm interviewing their CEO and co-founder, Manan Shah. In this conversation with Manan, we get very tactical and we geek out about how top recruiters are leveraging AI to work faster and supercharge their recruiting and business development. Whether or not you're in the market for a new ATS CRM system, you're definitely going to enjoy this conversation about business development strategies and the best AI use cases for recruiters who want to stay relevant and outpace their competitors. By the way, you can book a demo with Recruiter Flow by visiting recruitmentcoach.com/ATS. Once again, that's recruitmentcoach.com/ATS. And when you speak to Recruiter Flow, please let them know that you heard about them from the Resilient Recruiter Podcast. Why don't we start, Manan, by I'll explain why we wanted to partner with Recruiter Flow, and then maybe you can explain why you wanted to partner with us, and that will put some context around this, because we are not actively really going to find sponsors, and we're very, very selective about who we want to partner with for this show. I'm very protective over this, you know, audience.
I've been chasing you for a year, right?
So it's really important to me that we're not just doing this to get some extra money. That's not really, you know, our objective. But it has to be something that a product that we really believe in and where we like the people. So that's kind of like our criteria. And then the commercial part, that's a bonus. And so where this started is you and I first met 18 months ago when you were on the podcast.
Yeah.
You just had a little boy.
Yeah.
And that was a virtual conversation. And I really enjoyed that conversation, hearing your journey as an entrepreneur. And I felt like we had good chemistry. Then we met again at the Recruitment Agency Expo in London. And then, you know, struck up the conversation there in person, which was cool. And then you were kind enough to deliver a training for our clients about AI agents, which people were fascinated by and had so many questions about. And so that was really valuable. So we've kind of developed this relationship over the last 18 months where this is like the third time we're meeting in person. You yesterday and the day before were speaking at our live summit in London and, you know, about AI digital twins, and that blew people's minds as well. So I've really enjoyed this getting to know you and the value that you're bringing to the industry and also respect you as a person. The thing that really tipped the scales was a lot of our clients are using or have migrated to Recruiter Flow, and we were hearing excellent feedback from them. In particular, we have a few very prominent members in our program who others look to for anything tech related who are excellent at leveraging technology, at implementing automation, and they were really positive about Recruiter Flow, and they'd gone from one ATS to Recruiter Flow, and they had excellent, excellent feedback. People who I respect and trust. And so obviously because we're not a recruitment business, we don't use the software ourselves, but other people who I respect and who are clients of ours were really raving about Recruiter Flow. So I thought, okay, that checks all the boxes. Let's go ahead and do something together with Manan and his team.
Yeah. Now it's, I think, yeah. So the first conversation that we had, as you said, about 18 months back, I just realized that we've had, I think, three different conversations, and I have never been in the same city. So the first one was, I was in Mumbai. Second one, I think I was, here at the expo in London. And the third one, when I did the training with your group, I was in Bangalore, and now we are again here in London. But the reason for us to really partner with Recruitment Coach, we hear all kinds of opinions in the market, right? There is plenty of coaching content that's available out there, and a lot of it, stuff that I wouldn't really totally agree with. I think there is some, there are people who really advocate what I would consider morally dubious tactics and stuff like that. So first of all, right, like before I recorded your podcast, right, like I went and listened to some of your podcasts, some of your videos, and realize that, okay, here is a person who has a very analytical approach to this space. And I really loved that. One of the initiatives, when we call this internally, is that SaaSify recruiting, right? Like, I think day before yesterday, in your very first presentation at the summit, right? Like, you spoke about LTV, CAC, things like that, right? Like, hey, how much should you spend in marketing, to acquire one customer, right? Like it's dictated by how much is a average customer worth to you, and how do you, kind of scale a business by acquiring higher and higher value customers. So that's a great example, right? Like it's not very often that such, concepts are very frequently talked about in our industry, and I don't know why, right? Like as a SaaS founder, I have known this stuff for maybe more than 10 years now.
Right. In other industries, that's just
so
norm.
Common. Yeah. And, you have a great qualitative lens of looking at the business, scaling the business, and that information is pretty easily publicly available, right? If you look at our industry, for the lack of a better word, right? Like in my opinion, there is a fair bit of snake oil salesman. I don't know if I have a better word for it, but that's
okay.
When I started listening to you, it was a breath of fresh air, right? Like, okay, here is a person who really understands. And we internally with our marketing, one of our projects has always been SaaSify recruiting operations.
What do you mean by that?
So essentially, right, like when you're running a SaaS company, there are what's a good LTV to CAC ratio, right? Like it's 3:1. Like pretty much every SaaS founder would know that, right? Like I should be spending 1/3 or less of my total lifetime value of a customer on average customer acquisition, right? What are the kind of channels that work? How do they scale? Of course, every business is different. So you still have to work very, very hard to make all of it work. But you know whether I'm running a good business or not, right? Like how much money should I spend in marketing? How much money should I spend as part of my server or cloud cost, infrastructure cost, stuff like that, right? Like it's So at any point of time, as a SaaS founder, you can see, am I running a good tight ship or not, right? And that just doesn't exist for... and so there's like, okay, let's SaaSify this business, right? Like essentially, which means let's establish such operating matrix, do our own research. We have thousands of customers. We can do research on them, aggregate their data and see what's what, right? Like, so we've done a lot of work like that. We publish such reports quite regularly. I saw you talking about some very similar stuff, like have a very qualitative lens. Said, okay, here's a person that I think I can get along with very well.
Fantastic. All right. Well, let's talk about, so RecruiterFlow is positioned as the AI first platform to optimize rec ops. Now, that term may not be familiar to many listeners, and this fits in with what you're saying. I think the recruitment industry, it for whatever reason, is relatively unsophisticated when it comes to business and how you build a business, how you scale a business. And so actually, a lot of what I teach to our clients doesn't come from the recruitment industry. Obviously, I take everything I learned from these podcast interviews and what the best practices from our successful clients, and that obviously goes in our toolkit. But also, I'm learning from other industries how they do things and then trying to apply that to the recruitment business. So how can you explain, what do you mean by RecOps?
It's an abbreviation of recruitment operations.
Right.
Sometime back, right, like in software and in tech, there was a movement called RevOps, essentially, yep, which is revenue operations. And the whole movement was about how do you have your GTM or go-to-market functions, right? Like, which is your marketing operations, sales operations, all of that working together along with finance, right? Like, which is supposed to control costs, you know, give incentives, design incentives and stuff like that, right? Like, so how do you look at this piece holistically instead of, you know, three different departments, right? Like finance, sales and marketing. Look at this piece holistically, create an engine that's the, you know, that's your growth engine, right? Like, so it was called revenue operations. We took inspiration from that and said, okay, let's roll with RecOps. The way we look at it is RecOps for us is the right way of running and scaling a recruiting business, mm-hmm, right? How much money should you spend in salaries? How much money should I spend in marketing? How much, what should be my incentive structure? What should be my org structure, right? Like, these are very important questions. Most operators figure this out as they go. So we said, okay, you know what? We are going to do a lot of research on this and we are going to publish what we can. That's number one. And number two, we also saw a growing trend of more and more successful and, scaled up search and recruiting firms hiring a dedicated operations person.
Yes.
And they came in all, because it's such a new thing for this industry, they came in all different kinds of job titles, right? Like sometimes it's director of recruiting, sometimes actually director of ops or VP ops or CEO, sometimes they are just called principals, sometimes they're called head of some other department.
I've heard them sometimes called chief of staff.
Yeah, chief of staff, right? Like, but essentially the person who's keeping it all together, who is making sure that you're running a tight ship.
Yeah.
So we saw these two trends and said, okay, you know, I think it's fantastic that this industry is maturing, is, you know, thinking more analytically about how to run it. What's a good recruiting business? That's where RecOps was born.
Fantastic.
And so that's the later part. And the first part, AI first, right? Like, is...
Hold on, before we get to AI first, because that's another big conversation, okay?
Yeah.
So, first of all, thank you for explaining RevOps and RecOps and go-to-market, GTM. Because now, if our listeners recruit in software and SaaS, they will know these terms, but so many recruiters will have no, they will have never heard those terms before. I think they are, because they come from the software industry, right? And now they're being transferred to other industries like recruitment. I'm really glad you explained that. And I think a lot of recruitment businesses are started by someone who's ultimately great at recruiting and is a salesperson, not necessarily someone who knows how to run and grow and scale a business. And so they are great at winning business, managing client relationships, you know, doing deals, that kind of thing. But that's not always the same person who's good at the operations, the, you know, the scaling, the managing of teams, the implementation of like hiring and training people, all of that stuff. And that is becomes a real limiter of growth, because sooner or later the founder becomes a bottleneck and they can't scale because they're trying to do everything themselves. They're wearing all those hats. And so we've encouraged our clients to, if that is your personality and your strength, then you need to hire somebody who's complementary to you, who's all about operations and is going to really help you to build that scalable business, the infrastructure, and manage all the fine details of the execution. And I, that's exactly what I've done in my business, Manan. So you met Lisa Killian yesterday.
Yes, I did.
So she's our COO, and Rachel is our operations director and also the podcast manager. And so I've got built a really solid team on the ops side, and we have customer success, and we also have marketing and, you know, podcast production with Sanjay. And so that has allowed me to scale what I do, because I'm very similar to a lot of our clients. I'm not strong at the operations side of things. When you talk about GTM, we've also hired a GTM engineer who's a guy in Mumbai, actually.
Wow.
And this is recent for us. He's only been with us for about a month, but like I'm blown away by the automations and the agents that he's building for us. So it's a really exciting area. You guys are kind of leading the charge when it comes to bringing these concepts into recruitment. So when you talk about AI first, what does that really mean?
Yeah. So I think that's another probably, you know, it's so evident that why we decided to work together, right? Like, because it's so much, right? Like, even the way that you're building recruitment coach business, right? Like, you are either by accident or by analysis, you are reaching very similar conclusions and doing the, you know, steps that I would as a software founder, right? Like, so we are so much alike in so many ways. But going back to AI first bit, I've been building in AI for a really long time, right? Like me and my co-founders, we built our first AI company back in 2013. It was just, you know, it wasn't a full-fledged technology at that time. It was like, you know, toy for geeks. We just realized, hey, you know what, if you consume insane amount of data with reasonable amount of accuracy, you can predict who does not like your app and they're going to delete your app, and we can probably, you know, monetize that. Okay, so that was a good bet to make at the time back in 2013.
Because this is before most people were talking about AI. Now everybody,
yeah,
it, you know, it's kind of mainstream now and everybody is talking about it. But before ChatGPT really took off a couple of years ago,
yeah,
like only really, and this is not a derogatory, but only really geeky people really even were thinking about that.
Yeah, yeah. And we were so, and we were all engineers right out of, you know, college. We all had lofty ideas, and we thought, you know, you know, I used to think, hey, you know, sales is for people with you know, bad products and stuff like that. And of course, I was super naive myself. But yeah, I mean, you know, we got into that. We loved math, loved tech. We said, okay, you know what? We'll find out. We'll figure out something, and we did. Got lucky, I would say. I've had kind of a ringside view of, you know, technology evolving. And frankly, right, like when Google published, so the GPT, the T there is a transformer. When Google published their transformer paper, I was like, you know, we read about it and it became a little bit of a news at the time because it was quite revolutionary. But nobody actually imagined it. The application side of it, which is what finally became the ChatGPT. I think, you know, credit to OpenAI. Actually, Google themselves didn't see that coming, but credit to OpenAI who did. So, you know, when the technology started evolving, we started seeing a much more wider scale application because, you know, of course, AI was always good at, you know, structuring unstructured data, analyzing unstructured data, doing a lot of those things, but not actually, you know, giving output in human language, right? So what really got me excited very initially is that now every human in the world has a programming language, right? Like, so the reason that people, like, you know, if you're not technical, right? Like, so I'm just going to take, for example, Mark over here, right? Like, so your ability to interact with computers is limited because you don't know how to code in Python or any other language, right? Like, you speak English. And it became this club of an exclusive club of people who can write scripts, who can write code to be able to interact with computers. Now, I think that limitation is pretty much gone, right? Like, because computers and humans can talk in the same language, English, right? Or whatever, right? Like, not just English. You can actually pretty much use any language in the world now. That's what got me most excited, right? Like, so we started thinking from there. Okay, so how does recruiting world in general, but also for us more specifically, recruiting and search as a space change as a result of that, right? And we came to a conclusion that it's a very fundamental change, a change probably as big as invention of, let's say, maybe steam engine, maybe invention of internet, right? And
I've heard it described even more like the invention of or the discovery of fire, like more bigger than the steam engine. Like, this is more like, you know, an order of magnitude bigger than any of those previous inventions like the internet or what have you.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, right? Like, maybe, you know, it's probably as big, right? The time will tell, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We will know.
How much is hype and how much is, like, are we underestimating? Are we overestimating?
But... yeah, so I generally speaking, with technology, right, I've seen this, again, it kind of belies my age. I've seen this with cloud as well, right? Like, you really, really overestimate what it can do in a short term and really underestimate what it can do in a long term, right?
That's a good way of thinking, yeah.
Yeah, so we will have our boom and bust cycles with this as well, right? Like...
But coming back to AI first in regards to recruitment, what does that really mean too? So I'm loving this conversation, by the way, because I am super interested in this topic and I've really educated myself over the last couple of years. I still am constantly learning. I haven't obviously got your level, but just bringing it back to sort of practicality for someone who's not technical, who is running a recruitment business. What does it mean to have an AI-first platform?
Sure. Yeah. So I think a lot of recruiting businesses will become AI-enabled, AI-first businesses, right? So
they will have to.
They will have to, right? Like, it's an it's an existential thing, right? Like, so think you are doing executive search and you, when LinkedIn came around, you decided, oh, this is a fad, right? Like, I'm not going to use LinkedIn, right? Like, I'm good with my Rolodex, right? Like, I've done this 30 years. Maybe we don't know anybody like that today because they probably went out of business, right? So something very, maybe even more powerful, right? So so the way we look at it is that recruiting has to become AI first, and that means that your operating system, which is recruiter flow, right, has to be AI first as well to help you transition into this new era. And that means that your AI has to be baked in and not bolted on, right? Like, so what that means is you as product builders, we have to really rethink every part of our product on how that's going to evolve for the world where agents and humans work together, right? It entirely depends on what AI means to you, depending on the business that you are running, right? Like, so if you are, so internally at Recruiter Flow, we divide this into three major categories, right? Like, so the first is high volume staffing. So where the role complexity is not very high, but the volumes are really, really high, right? Like, so we think that those businesses should probably be AI native, right? Like, where you can even do a lot of screening, decision making by AI. Then there is, the mid-level, right? Like, so not a lot of volume, but not a lot of complexity either. So think, your accountants, marketing managers, mid-level white-collar or maybe even gray-collar roles, but where AI can, we call that AI-assisted. So if you have, AI can assist humans in doing a lot of different things. And we saw so many examples of that, right? Like a day before yesterday when I was speaking to the members who attended the summit. And some fabulous examples over there, right? Like, but, you know, so that's number two. And the number three is AI augmented, where you have zero decision making. So think executive search, you're hiring senior level people, where there is a lot of complexity, there is a lot of nuance to select the right person. So AI is really bad at that stuff as it stands today, at least. But it can really help you become much faster, right? Like, so it's a way you should, how does AI impact your business? I think these are the three, you are somewhere in this spectrum, right? You have to think, where am I in this spectrum? Give it, be very honest about that analysis and just go after it. And we are here to help build the tooling and the technology for that. So, the way that we are building Recruiter Flow is, it's, every feature in Recruiter Flow every workflow for our customers, every feature in Recruiter Flow has, how does AI help here? And in future, right, like if agent has to either aid or completely automate this, right, like what does that UX need to look like, right? Like, so we are...
User experience.
Yes. Yeah, user experience looks like, right? Like, so we are... kind of rethinking, from ground up, and say, so my co-founder Amritanshu, who leads our product, right? Like he came up with this, because when we were thinking about this internally, he's like, forget everything that we've built, right? If we were building Recruiter Flow today, if we were founders today, how would we build it? And we started coming up with these really crazy ideas. It's like, what's stopping us from building that? Because now we have we are not starting today. We have so much,
resources,
right? Like, yeah. So let's do this and let's do this super duper fast. And so we said, okay, you know what? So that's what AI first means, right? Like, so product is super AI embedded, where everything is built ground up for the world that is transitioning to... For a recruiting industry that is transitioning to this AI first or you know, AI native world, right? Like, so that's what we mean. And it's a really long answer.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I'd love to delve in a minute to specific use cases, examples, workflows, that type of thing, features that your customers love. First, let's just zoom out again a little bit because, so our listeners, I think the people who will be listening in and interested in this conversation are, number one, we seem to attract people who are very interested in tools and like how, like what automations are available, what tools, you know, should I be thinking about or adding to my business. So like tools in general and automation in general, people who want to learn more about that. There will be people who are specifically looking to either, get their first ATS CRM platform or who are dissatisfied for whatever reason, who are looking for an alternative platform. And I guess, thirdly, there'll be people who are just hungry for information about AI and automation in general, not specifically, you know, looking to change ATSs right now, but who, if it's about AI, I need to hear it because, you know, this is an important topic. So I think those are the different categories of people who probably are listening. Who is your ideal client? Who is RecruiterFlow kind of the best fit for?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. So we primarily work with, I would say, small and mid-sized recruiting businesses. So startups, right, like two people working out of their
bedroom. Yeah,
yeah. So we work with them all the way till, you know, scale-ups, right? Like, so anywhere up to about, let's say, 100 million in annual revenue or net fee income. We primarily work with, we don't really work with temp staffing businesses, at least today. RecruiterFlow is primarily designed for permanent recruitment, exec search, interim.
What about contract?
Yeah, where... so we do. We work with a fair number of contract recruiting businesses as well. So perfect fit for them. But yeah, so the temp businesses where like there is shifts and shift management, and there is a bunch of tooling that's required. Just behind having an ATS and CRM, which we currently don't have. So not a good fit for them right
so
now.
So that's in the three buckets you were talking about earlier. That's the more high volume temp stuff. You don't really cater to that currently.
We don't. Yes, okay. That is correct.
All right. Fantastic. So let's talk about then, like, there's a lot of ATSs out there. Just like, I mean, I think every category is competitive, right? There's a lot of recruitment, coaching, and training options available. There's a lot of choices for different ATSs and CRMs. When people switch to RecruiterFlow, why are they doing that? What do you think is the gap? Actually, no, before you answer that question, I have an earlier question, which is, you're a software entrepreneur. Why did you choose to get into the recruiting industry specifically? As like, what gap did you see in that market, or what attracted you to want to get involved in this industry?
Oh yeah, I mean, I call that, you know, a series of happy accidents, right? Because we actually did not target agencies, right? Like recruiting businesses as a space, right? Like we primarily built our first product, which does not really exist anymore, although it was called the same thing, was not for search businesses or recruiting businesses.
Okay.
It was for internal talent acquisition.
All right.
Because that's the world we knew. About a year and a half into the journey, we were not doing so well. And suddenly, we have this, you know, they are still our customers. There is this search firm in London who are in a contract with, you know, one of the the leading player in the space, right? Like, and mid-contract is like, okay, you know what? I'm done with them. I'm going to move to this new platform, and moved his entire team, all of that, just signed up online, never spoke to us and all of that.
Okay.
And we were really curious. So we started chasing him. And at some point of time, he probably just, you know, just gave up and said yes to having a conversation with us.
So wait, there was no conversation. They just found you online and signed up.
Yeah, and started paying and using and all of that. And,
okay.
And they came from, so they did talk to us in on customer support. And back then, it was just me and my co-founders, three people team,
okay.
Right? So we were doing customer support as well, right? Like, so he did speak to us on customer support, right? Like, raise tickets and stuff. But, and so we knew that he is, you know, coming from multi-hundred-million-dollar revenue company, the market leader and all of that. So we're like, okay, wow. And spoke to him and he signed a 3-year contract. And we're like, okay, we signed the contract and went back again and asked, right? Like, we've existed for less than a year. Why would you sign a contract, 3-year contract? And it was super friendly. It's like, oh, you guys are stupid, right? Like, you don't know what you built. And before you wise up and raise your prices, I want to lock you down.
Okay, fair enough.
So I said, okay, all right. So that gave us, you know, that got us to start thinking about recruiting and search businesses as a space.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that, oh, wow, this space is so far behind, right? Like, in terms, if you look at what's the latest and greatest, in terms of technology, they're like, oh, wow, this space is, oh, it's like a decade behind what's, you know, where everybody else is. And yeah, we just decided to pivot because we had nothing to lose, decided to focus on the space. And it's been like, we started growing really, really fast. So that's the story.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's cool. Because the recruitment agency space is much smaller than the talent acquisition space, potentially,
yes.
Right?
But
sometimes it's better to dominate a smaller niche than try and, you know, compete in a huge market as a small, you know, growing software business. So that's super interesting. So that leads on then to the question, what was the gap? You said like 10 years behind, like, and so you felt like you could really bring something different. So why do people choose RecruiterFlow? What do they tell you is the things that you provide that they prefer to the other platforms they've been using?
Sure. So I think the first thing, the most prominent thing, reason that people choose RecruiterFlow is their ability to execute faster, right? It manifests in different ways for different businesses, but it boils down to, hey, it'll help us become faster.
What does that really mean, though, become faster? Like,
so, first of all, right, like, much better user experience, right? Like, very pleasing on the eyes and just very fast, not way too many buttons, not confusing, very minimal learning curve, right? Like, so if you have a new person.
Right. Okay. That's what I thought you were going to lead with, Manan, because that's what I've heard is, and this is what our clients tell us, is especially like small recruitment businesses who are not technical, they're like, Mark, we need an ATS and a CRM. But it has to be, I want something easy to use.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want it. If there's a huge learning curve and there's lots of features we're not, you know, then that's not what I want. I want something that is very easy for me to use as an owner.
Yeah, no, absolutely true. But so you have to then ask, right, like, why do you want something easy to use? And then it's like, you know, we ask that, right? Like, and so the way it manifests for different businesses of different sizes very differently, but we essentially, right, like at the heart of it, everybody wants to work faster. And
sure.
If that's the heart of your problem, you would choose RecruiterFlow, right?
Okay.
Like, so I want something easy to use. I want something that doesn't really have a lot of learning curve. I want something that gives me, you know, gives my recruiters more time to be in front of candidates and clients, right?
Okay.
Like, so automate this, automate that, right? Like, and things of that nature. So helping your team execute faster is the number one reason that people pick Recruiter Flow.
Yeah.
Second, and I think is also because we are not a point solution, right? Like, so it's like a whole bunch of different things, right? Like, so you get with just one vendor, you get like, you know, you get your ATS, you get CRM, you get business intelligence, you're advanced. If you're a larger business, right, like smaller business are probably fine with, you know, not having super advanced reporting. But if you are anywhere above $1.5 to $2 million in annual revenue, your reporting needs are going to be a
yes.
little bit more complex.
And as your right? team grows,
yeah,
you need to be able to see what everyone's doing and
yeah.
the metrics and everything.
Yeah, and also need to have access control and things like that, right? Like, so so you get business intelligence reporting, sequencing, marketing automation, AI note taker, a bunch of different AI agents, right? Like, so if you get an all integrated system in one place, instead of buying, you know, five different vendors and stitching together solutions and, like, you know, having data silos. And whenever somebody new joins in, they have five different tools to learn instead of just one very easy, simple, integrated software, right? Like, so these two are the two major reasons why people pick Recruiter Flow.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, if we think of the market-leading software in this space, it's a legacy platform, and they've acquired that. Like, if there's extra tools or extra, you know, functionality they want, they just acquire a business and bolt it on, and it kind of becomes,
yeah.
you know, this huge collection of tools. But actually, they're not all included in the price. They're
yeah.
extras.
They're know, extras. Yeah, and we, you know, as a founder, I've been super frustrated, right? Like, with this whole. Oh, you want this extra feature? It's an add-on. You want that? It's an add-on, right? Like, we use, I don't know, tons of software
sure.
internally at Recruiter Flow. And every time we have some, you know, oh, wow, now my team has grown. We need to do this extra, right? Like, it's an add-on, right? Like, and they're like, oh, that was not clear to us when we took the demo or when we decided to purchase the software. So as a buyer, I've been frustrated by this whole add-on strategy. So I have, you know, we have a very different way of building. We have unique way of, I would say somewhat radical opinion on how to build a right software company. And this whole add-on strategy, we think is, you know, has probably lived its life. It's still making a ton of money for a ton of different
course.
Software companies.
Yeah.
But whether the software company of the future would have an add-on strategy, we think not. And we think us as well as our customers are better off without a software having like a ton of add-ons, right? Like, so we have only two plans. One is a core platform plan, and the one is a fully loaded, where you get all the AI and data enrichment features. Then there is one plan where you say, okay, you know what, I'm a small business. I don't have the capacity to pay that price. And I don't really need all these, you know, data and AI features, at least right now. So you start with the platform plan, right? Like, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I just thought of a story I want to tell you. I don't think you've heard this one. So one of our clients, recently switched to Recruiter Flow. His name's Miguel. And he says that he wishes he'd found it sooner because it is helping him like transform his business. The platform, who I will not name, that he was using before, he found it's so difficult to use to get it to do what he wanted it to do, basically. And a lot of frustration of things that he knew in his mind what he wanted it to do, and it just wasn't possible within that platform. And even just simple things were cumbersome, like doing a search and getting, putting, you know, lists together and accessing the data that was already in there and so on. So this is the kind of feedback I'm hearing a lot from people, is it's like, they're so happy that they've found Recruiter Flow. So can we get into some real specific like workflows or automations breakdown? Because I think that's what people listening love to get, as tactical as possible and the specifics as possible. You and I like talking about strategy and big picture stuff, but let's talk more about some specific things with either AI agents or sequences or, you know, these kinds of things that you're excited about, your clients are excited about.
Yeah. So we, couple of months back, we released our AI note taker. So there are, you know, so many note takers out there in the market, right? Like, why did we build one, right? Like, that's a question that I get a lot. So the reason that we built it, again, right? Like, I've been speaking about this a lot, right? Like, for AI to work, first, we need to collect a ton of data. And we saw where is majority of the data being lost. And it's like, okay, it's the data is in conversations, but it's being lost.
Wait, let's double click on that. The data is in the conversations. I agree, by the way, but what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so, I mean, see, recruiters move fast, right? So, I'm a salesperson, right? Like, I'm really bad at CRM hygiene, myself being a CRM, you know, right, builder as well, yeah, right? So
recruiters are terrible. They don't like putting information on the system.
Yes.
Updating the notes, filling in all the fields.
Yes, yeah, exactly, right? Like, so I know we are like that, right? Like, so we saw, okay, you know what? There is so much tribal knowledge. There's a wealth of information that's there in the conversations that your recruiters are having with candidates, with clients, and it's lost forever because if you are lucky, your recruiter, after the call is done, right, like they would write three lines of notes, right? Like, and like all of this is lost forever.
It just disappears into the ether.
Yes. So bad, right? Like, and like, okay, first we need to capture that, right? Like, yeah, that's the, so for AI to work, it needs a ton of data. So how do we capture proprietary data, your tribal knowledge? What's the best way of going about it, right? Like, it's like, okay, let's start capturing candidate and client conversation. So we, yes, built a note taker. And now it's so embedded in your CRM now, right? Like, so for example, right, like you go on a call with a candidate and, you know, it's a screening call. So you are, of course, going to talk about, you know, how much money do they want? Are they okay to relocate? Right, like the usual stuff, right? Like, and because it's integrated into your CRM, what Recruiter Flow can do is that automatically, just we are not only taking notes, but we are also structuring all this information, right? Like, so you talk to a candidate and they say, oh, you know what? I am currently in London, but I'm okay to move to Liverpool, but not to, let's say, Manchester, okay, right? We will automatically...
No offense to Mancurians listening.
Yes, yes. I'm going to Manchester just right after this. But so it'll automatically say, you know what, this person wants X, you know, this is the amount of salary that they want. They are okay to move to Liverpool. They have X. So, and this is a very generic example, but you can get really, really specific with it as well, right? Like, so you can say, you know what, so I was given this example of, let's say, construction as an industry. So whether the person has experience, because people are not very good at writing their CVs,
right,
as well, right? Yeah. So, although they should be now with AI, but we, you know, hopefully, you know, we will see that come in a year or two. But so in construction, you have commercial real estate, residential, warehouses, industrial, yeah, yeah, a lot of different categories, right? So it'll automatically look at the conversation and code the candidate with right kind of experience that they have, right? Like if they say, oh, you know, I report to Jane Doe, okay, it automatically puts that information, it structures the information automatically in the CRM. You can build automations.
So now I'm understanding. Earlier you mentioned unstructured data. AI is good at taking unstructured data and turning into structured data. So when you say that really didn't mean anything to me at the time, but unstructured data is a conversation. There's lots of data in there, but it's not in a format that then you can retrieve and do something with. And the AI is taking the conversation and turning it into structured data that you can then use.
You can then use, retrieve, search later on. And you are also building this repository of information, right? Like, so for example, everybody works in different industries, right? Like, so let's say you work in life sciences, right? Like, again, biotechnology, a couple of industries that are having a phenomenal moment because of, again, advances in AI, right? Like, so if you're an operator in those industries, you want to have intelligent conversations with your clients and your candidates. You can just ask, right? Like, hey, across last 3 months, whenever anybody in our team has spoken to either a client or a candidate about AI in, let's say, drug discovery, give me a synopsis of all the conversations so that the next drug discovery client that I'm speaking to, I can sound, I mean, this is, I'm paraphrasing from one of our customers.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
it helps me sound smarter than I am, right? Like, yeah. So now that all of this information is available, you can search through it, you can get this search, right? Like, okay, these are the 10 conversations where, you know, somebody in the team has spoken about AI. And now summarize all of that for me and off to the meeting I go, right? So
I didn't actually realize that you had the note taker built in because that's a game changer. We tell all of our clients they must record every conversation, get it transcribed, no matter what it takes. This is like critical now because there's so much that you can then do with that information, everything from makes it much easier to create write-ups or candidate summaries that you're going to submit to clients. You can then use AI to write MPC emails to promote a candidate that you're representing and pull out what are the selling points or the quantifiable achievements of those candidates. You can use it for creating content. So one of our clients, Karen Lloyd, uses AI to come up with, so to look at her conversations she's having with clients and candidates and give her ideas for topics for LinkedIn posts. And then she picks the ones she wants. And then from all the conversations I've had with marketing directors, help me write articles about this, this, and this, based on what they have actually told me in those conversations. And those posts get such a phenomenal response because they really resonate. They're based on real, anonymous, obviously, but real conversations with people in her industry. And that, you know, unless you're recording and transcribing those conversations, you can't do any of that stuff. So.
Yeah.
How else do you see people using the note-taking tool?
One of the use cases that we are seeing a lot, especially in retained search space, where you have to, you know, there is a proposal. This is a proper sales process.
Yes.
Where you've been engaging with a client for, let's say, 3 months, sometimes even longer. Over the course of, it really helps you distill, right? Like 5 conversations that you've had over the course of last 2 months, build a business case, which you can take that summary out of Recruiter Flow and put it in a document maker app like Gamma or whatever you like to use, build a presentation, a pitch, or a proposal for your clients. So we are seeing a lot of that. We are seeing
We use Gamma.ai, by the way.
Yeah, we do as well. Yeah. We love it internally. So in fact, the presentation that I gave on, day before yesterday, that was partly built on Gamma.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
So,
yeah. There you go.
So yeah. another use case, we haven't really seen our customers do it a lot, but it's super, like, it has been quite revolutionary for us internally at Recruiter Flow, is every time, you know, the market leader, they, whenever our sales team is having conversation and they come up as a competitor, which they do quite frequently, they are the market leader, right? So it sends a Slack notification to our sales team internally so that others, and it synthesizes, right? Like, why are they considering them, and what are some of the things that they have, you know, they'd like about
the market. Oh, that's cool.
Right? Like, yeah. So, and then everybody else kind of chips in. Oh, great, right? Like, this is how I've dealt with this, et cetera, right? Like, it's really increasing the collaboration, because otherwise nobody, there is so many things, there are so many things that you have discussed in a sales call that, you know, an account executive is not going to, after the call, is not going to go for every deal, right? Like, go around the room and ask, oh, you know what, this is what I heard from, this is the objection that I heard, or this is what I heard about the competitor. How can I deal with it?
Right.
Right. Like, they're not going to do that.
This is a really important use case, I think, which AI is brilliant for, is sales coaching. Yeah. But so you need the note-taking tool, because then it's recording all the conversations you're having with clients and candidates. We can use that in two ways. Number one, the leader can look at those call transcripts and give feedback and coaching to the individual. Or they can coach themselves. They can ask AI, look at this transcript, how could I do better? But also then that becomes a training tool for others. So what was, give me an example of this objection and how the others in the team have answered it.
Yeah, absolutely. So people do that all the time. Yeah.
That's cool. So. All right, awesome. So aside from the note taker then, what else are you excited about with Recruiter Flow?
So we have a pretty... pretty large module for data enrichment.
Okay, so, this is huge, because we still get, I kind of take it for granted that there's lots of tools out there for finding email addresses, phone numbers, you know, and so on. A lot of people still don't know, and they're like, what, how do I get, if I want to do an email sequence, how do I get those emails, or how, what, you know, what tools are available? Tell me about the built-in.
Yeah, so we have a contact information finder now. So you are on somebody's LinkedIn and we will find you their email address, phone number. So, you know, you're off to the races, reaching out. But that, I would say, is the most basic of our data enrichment. But, you know, what we are also able to do is do job change alerts, right? Mm. So whenever somebody changes jobs, so whether they get promoted or they move from company X to company Y, you get notifications, which is super.
So important. Just to clarify, this is the people in your database who you've already
added to Recruiter Flow.
Recruiter Flow is monitoring to see if they change jobs or get promoted.
Yeah, we are.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we are. And because whenever that happens, that's a very large opportunity for you to do business, you know, for you to strike up a conversation.
Yes.
Right? And again, I'm stealing this from another customer, but this is how we described it, right? Like, I love this because it helps me be systematic about being at the right place at the right time.
Right.
Yes. So, again, right, like that's super important, right? Like whenever people change jobs, that's generally...
That's a signal.
Yeah, that's a signal.
In go-to-market, we talk about signals.
Yeah.
You know, what are signals that let us know that this might be the right time to reach out to a prospect?
Exactly.
And that changing jobs is a big one.
Big one, yeah.
So, and in two regards. Number one, let's strike up a conversation with the person who's just been promoted or changed jobs, because especially if they're a hiring authority, often when someone starts a new job, there's going to be some turnover in their department. Either people won't like the new style, or they're going to clear out people who are not performing and bring in new people. So there's going to be opportunity there. Or maybe it's just a signal that that company is expanding and that's why they were hired. So this is a company that's in a growth mode. So maybe there might be other opportunities at that company. And then backfilling. So the company they've just left, they may not have a successor for that person who they've lost. So that's a double opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And actually, there's a third one. I'm getting very tactical here because I get excited about this. The person who has just accepted this new position, Manan, may have been interviewing for other jobs.
Oh.
So, yeah. But they've now chosen one. What happened to the other interviews they were part of? Maybe those companies have not found, maybe they were the front running candidate. If you have a strike up a conversation with the person who's just changed jobs and you get some rapport going, they might tell you, oh yeah, I was also up for this other position, but I've, you know, accepted this position. Oh, what was the other company? And, you know, and that, so you're getting leads that way as well. But unless you have the signal and know that that person's just changed jobs, this is all opaque to you. You don't have that intelligence.
Yeah, no, I never really thought about that third use case, to be honest. But again, right? Like, it's a massive signal when people are changing jobs and where were they earlier and where are they now?
Now, LinkedIn does do this to some extent.
Yes.
But the problem is it's another platform and another specific button you have to press, like notifications in LinkedIn.
Exactly.
And it also, I don't think it tells you all of them.
No.
It tells you some of them. And
you have to remember every time.
You have to specifically remember to go and
add them to a list and
right,
all of
right,
that.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
yeah.
So if it's
work.
Already happening in your CRM system, then, and pushing that information to you, then that's huge.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing that we are working on in same data space is exec appointments, right? Like, so I can start listening to, let's say one of my target clients is Microsoft in London, right? So I'm going to say, okay, you know what? Whenever Microsoft appoints a director or a VP or a director level plus person in their data science team. So their job title contains director, VP, etc. So you can put your own filters, right? Like most recruiters here know how to put filters. And whenever there is a new person joining Microsoft, you can put listeners on companies for executive appointments, right? Like, so whenever that person joins Microsoft,
wait a sec. So
you get an alert.
How does that really work? Because those appointments won't be necessarily people who are already in Recruiter Flow.
They are not.
Okay.
But that company, Microsoft, has to be in Recruiter Flow.
Okay, so the company, Microsoft, is
in
Recruiter Flow.
Yes.
And then you put a listener, what you call a listener.
Yeah. I mean, it's a work in progress. We have not yet released that feature. So maybe when it goes out, it'll be probably called something else. But right now, internally, we are calling it a listener.
All right, cool. And so that's going to be listening across what? The LinkedIn or the internet or what? Like
LinkedIn, PR articles sometimes. I mean, at C-level, there are PR articles. Generally, anything below C-level, you wouldn't really find PR articles. But yeah, it's listening.
Okay. So you're monitoring specific companies for changes at executive level.
Yeah.
Okay.
So again, right, like if a company... A lot of times, right, like a company might have had like an acquisition or a large capital injection, but it would not come out as a PR because they've kept it private for a variety of very good reasons.
Yes.
But you can't hide that from your hiring activity, right? Like you're suddenly hiring executives, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, again, a good signal for you. And whenever... Any new executive appointment is generally means that, okay, there is going to be some churn in that org. That's generally a good opportunity
Exactly. Tell me about your MPC feature and how recruiters are used. MPC stands for Most Placeable Candidate. A lot. It's a very old school tactic to, you know, really there's two main ways that traditionally you could start a business development conversation. Either you, you know, introduce yourself as a, say, a specialist in a specific area and the types of people you work with, the problems you solve, and you're selling your service essentially. Or you introduce a specific candidate who has relevant skills and experience for that company that kind of helps you open the door because you're representing that individual and it showcases, they may or may not have a current hiring need for that specific profile, but it shows the quality of the types of people that you have access to. And so I believe people are using RecruiterFlow to facilitate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have multiple ways, but the main thing is you can get AI to write like a really nice pitch for the person mm-hmm. that you are representing. You can put that pitch along with, you know, a branded landing page and things like that, along with, you know, a blinded CV of the person. And send it out to whatever, right? Like you might have identified 50 potential hiring managers or 500. Send it out to them in a sequence, right? Like, so the first email goes out. If there is no response, then another email, another touch point, right? Like, so you can put that all in a sequence and track who opened. So the clients have a way to interact with the pitch, the candidates that you are pitching. So you can either pitch one, two, three, right? Like I generally don't advise people to pitch more than five candidates at a time because five is already a lot.
Definitely. Yeah.
Ideally, I would say one or two people you should pitch at a time. But anyway, so I think different businesses do it differently. But a lot of times clients would check out they would land on the landing page and will see the candidate. And then there they have interactivity, right? Like they can give a thumbs up, thumbs down, or they can write a message to you, all of that. But, and you get to track all of that. Hey, they clicked, but they did not respond. Oh, they saw the profile, but they did not respond. So then you can, you know, maybe
call them,
be bolder, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Exactly. So, okay, this is fascinating. Let's talk about the sequencing because, again, that's something that we teach is automate what you can because that gives you more time to have the human connection, to make phone calls, to be in person with clients. And so automation allows you to scale your outreach very time efficiently. And there's a lot of tools for automating emails, for example. How does the sequencing work in RecruiterFlow? Because, please don't be offended by this, Manan, most of the recruitment CRMs I've looked at have bolted on sequencers, but I wouldn't say they're best in class.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think, so we are rolling out it's a work in progress. It should be out in a couple of months, at least for beta. So that means it'll have a few bugs for early customers, but a truly multi-channel conditional sequencing engine. So what that means is you can say, okay, my first step is send a LinkedIn connection request. Wait for 3 days. At the end of 3 days, see if the person has accepted my request, then do X. But if they have not accepted my request, then do Y, which is, you know, send an email or send a LinkedIn message or create a to-do for, you know, sequence owner to just call up the person. So you can have multiple different channels, and at every step, you can create multiple different logics. You can say, hey, you know what? If somebody has opened, they have not responded to me, But if they've opened my email three or more times, send automatically create another to-do for the recruiter to just call them. Hey, they've opened your email thrice. There is something.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah. But
Manan, if you can pull this off, this is going to be a game changer. I'll be watching this closely because, you know, because you attended our event, I'm a huge believer in multiple touch points across multiple channels.
Yeah.
Because some people may respond on LinkedIn and others won't, but they might respond to an email. And some people won't respond to the email, but they might respond to a call or a voice note or something else. So if you can pull it off, this is going to be incredible. I don't want to lose people by getting too in the weeds here, but it's a topic I'm, you know, very, very interested in. Email deliverability is a huge challenge. And so one of the ways to ensure that you get in the inbox and not get filtered out as spam is sending lower volume. You cannot send more than 50 emails per day per inbox. But what that means, and also I would caution people against risking their primary email domain and sending unsolicited cold outreach from their primary email domain. Is there a way for customers, without buying more licenses, to have a secondary email that they could send those emails from?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we already have this feature called aliases.
Okay.
So you have a license of Recruiter Flow on, let's say, mark@recruitmentcoach.com. You can then create multiple aliases. Let's say mark@recruitmentcoach.net.in.co.uk, et cetera, right? Like none of your primary domains. And if you want from primary domain, you can just do markw, mark.witby, et cetera, et cetera. So create multiple email addresses, and then you can automatically create. So there is a setting that you have to turn on in Recruiter Flow Sequences that will automatically run a round robin.
Great.
When you're reaching out.
Okay.
And if the person that you're reaching out to has a history of communicating with one of the aliases, let's say they have history of communicating with your .NET email address, and it'll automatically prefer .NET again, because if they have sent an email back to you on your .NET, sending it from the same email will not
let all those aliases would still go to the same inbox for responding, or?
So that's a setting that you have to kind of configure on your Outlook or G Suite, whatever mailbox that you are using. But in Recruiter Flow, when you see responses, right, like it will be central in one place in Recruiter Flow, but in your actual inbox, you have to configure it in your Outlook.
Yeah, makes sense. FYI, and this for our listeners may or may not know this, for delivery.com works best. So if you're doing variations, instead of doing recruitmentcoach.com.co.uk.net, you would just create a slight variation of your domain. So you would do go recruitment coach, ask recruitment coach, meet recruitment coach, but they'd all be .com ideally.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it also, if you're delivering here in UK, I think .co.uk works better.
It would work. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay, cool. So the sequencing and the aliases sounds great. But how you mentioned using AI to write the message, but is there a co-pilot in Recruiter Flow, or would they go outside to ChatGPT, take the notes from Recruiter Flow, export that to ChatGPT to write the emails? How does that actually work?
Yeah, so right now it's it's a little bit disjointed. So that's what again we are working on. So again in a couple of months' time, right? Like you will have a co-pilot which is sitting in your sequencing, and instead of actually writing the templates, you can create a template and just put a prompt as part of the template, right? Like, hey, in the first line, see if they were if they went to XYZ. So you can create essentially hyper personalized messages, and you can create your own prompt And so it'll write a couple of lines with that prompt, so which is super personalized, and rest of it can be a template. Or you can just say, okay, you know what? I am completely fine with letting go of all control and giving it all to the Copilot, and just say, okay, personalize the whole email and or whole message, whatever the channel is. And
I would be cautious of that.
I would be super cautious of
that.
Because,
I've tried this, and without guardrails, whether you use ChatGPT or Claude, it doesn't perform. In my opinion, I'm geeky about copywriting. You're geeky about tech and SaaS. I'm geeky about copywriting. In my opinion, left to its own devices, Claude or ChatGPT don't do a wonderful job of writing.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong, they're better than the average person, but they're not better than the best copywriters.
They're not.
So, but I would give it the structure and the template and allow it certain freedom to personalize within that.
Exactly. So so that's why what we've built is, again, unique in a way. So instead of writing the entire message, you're just saying, okay, write the first two lines. Just, you know, whatever your output is, keep it less than, let's say, two sentences. You can, you know, create those restrictions for AI. And say, if you don't find anything, don't write anything. You can do that as well. So if you don't find any way to personalize, just, you know, leave it alone. You don't have.
Yes, good.
Because sometimes if you force it to, it'll just hallucinate and
absolutely
completely random stuff, right? Yeah. Like, it's so bad. So you can do that. And you also have the control of actually viewing the message before it goes out.
Good idea. Especially in the beginning, you want to just keep a close eye.
I mean, because especially if you're doing search, you want to have that white glove treatment for your clients,
definitely,
your candidates. And you want to make sure that every message that goes out under your brand is on point, right? Like, it's not some random stuff. So
fantastic. Now, you mentioned about like them interacting with your candidates on a web page.
Yes.
How? That's not through Recruiter Flow though, right?
No. It's through Recruiter Flow. So it'll be a branded landing page. So it'll be a recruitment coach logo or, you know, whoever is the account, right? Like, you will have your own logo. It will, it can have like the recruiter's name. You can click on the link on the candidate, and you can just say, request recruiter to call me back. Here is my number.
Wow, I did not know that you did that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, because what you saw in my presentation at the summit, I was talking about personalized landing pages and having, you know, not generic, you know, just the public website, but having hidden web pages within your website where you're directing specific people to go. So you're saying that I can profile the candidates on such a website. They can go and say whether they're interested or not.
Yeah. I mean, it'll take a little bit of a setup.
Yeah,
you can.
Wow. That's super cool. Awesome. All right. Manan, this has flown past. I feel like we're still scratching the surface, but I love what you're doing, and it's very, you're really leading the way in terms of innovation, and the functionality that you're building into Recruiter Flow aligns perfectly with the strategies that we're teaching our clients as well. And so, really excited. What's the future for Recruiter Flow? What are you guys working on next?
So many things. We are working on having like a gamifying your having a goals dashboard and leaderboards, and gamifying, you know, different metrics, and helping, you know, leaders reward their team members on hitting certain numbers and stuff.
That's cool. Yeah.
So that's one. Second, a ton of AI agents. I think at right now we are developing about 40 different AI agents, right? Like, some very small, some quite elaborate.
I think that is the most, I mean, you're doing a lot of exciting things. I think that is probably the big game changer right there, is the AI agents, because, and the fact you're building it into Recruiter Flow, because otherwise you're going to need to, like, we're building AI agents right now because we're not a recruitment business. We're not using Recruiter Flow, but it means that we need to use N8N and, you know, build from scratch. We're building our own agents, and it's, you know, it's time consuming. And I don't personally know how to do it. That's Vinesh's job, is he's, you know, building those for us over time slowly. But I guess the benefit, your users are going to be able to benefit from your engineering team and have agents without having to build their own.
Yeah. And actually, we are working on a feature that's super exciting for me. So two things that are, you know, again, on the AI front, the most exciting personally for me. One is build your own agent. So okay. You can build your own agent in Recruiter Flow. So
oh, wow.
Say, if a candidate...
using natural language, you mean? Or
no, so there is a little bit of an element of like selecting a trigger, right? Like whenever a candidate moves to, let's say, prep for interview stage, which is a stage that you already created in Recruiter Flow, then after that, the prompt is natural language.
Okay.
Right? Like, so when this happens, so when do you invoke the agent? Yeah. That is fixed. But what do you want the agent to do is, you know, you can just type that out. You can invoke skills. So there are, we are building skills inside Recruiter Flow. So you can invoke skills that, okay, use this skill to do this and give this as an output.
Do you know what? I think we're probably going to lose people who aren't familiar with AI agents, but I'm really excited about what you're doing. Maybe we'll have to have another conversation and we can go deeper on AI agents. Also, you're developing so fast. Like if we talk again, you know, in a few months, you're probably going to have more things to share.
We will. Yeah. We half of our team is engineering. So okay. we do work very, very fast on this front. Fantastic. So again, for us, we think this is existential for our customers, and yeah. we want to give that, you know, competitive advantage to our customers. So we are working yeah. as fast as we can.
What do you think of the idea? I had Johnny Campbell on here recently, and he's very well educated in the space, especially on the TA side, believes that there's going to be 50% less recruiters in, you know, 5 to 10 years from now than there are now. So there's a kind of thinning of the herd. And so, you know, presumably people listening want to be one of the recruiters that, you know, is still around and has a thriving business. Whereas maybe it's smaller teams, but it's, you know, the really AI enabled recruiters that are going to thrive and prosper, yeah. You know, even in the short term, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, I have not seen the future, so I don't know whether that 50% whether that's true or not. But it's undeniable that there is going to be an impact. There will be fewer recruiters, maybe. But what we are seeing right now is that AI, especially the customers who are, you know, kind of are leading with it. One super surprising thing for us as well as our customers after the adoption has been that it's everybody thought that, okay, you know what, it's going to, you know, it's going to help our bottom quartile performers do better and all of that. And that's true. So while the average goes up, but it's way more polarizing. So what that means is the deviation of your top 10% of your top 20% from the average goes up quite significantly. And initially, that's super counterintuitive to us. We started seeing that it was very surprising. But then, you know, when you think about it, it makes so much sense that, of course, if you are a fabulous recruiter, you've always been top 20%, you are going to use AI so much better than everybody else that, you know, it's just going to make you, you know, yeah, much better, much faster, right?
Wow. You just reminded me something that you mentioned at our summit was you've tracked a measurable increase in the average GP per headcount, I think.
Yes.
Can you remind me what is that?
Yeah, so you should, it depends on the business, but okay. We've seen all the way up to, you know, early 30s in terms of
30% uplift increase. In average per desk
increase in GP, right?
Yeah.
Like so
awesome.
That's quite a bit.
Absolutely. Listen, Manan, I know you have another appointment to get to in Manchester, so I'll let you go for now. But that was fun. Thank you so much.
Well, really my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Mark.
Okay. Talk to you again.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to The Resilient Recruiter. I know how busy recruiters are, so I'm honored that you're investing this time with me each week. I don't take your attention for granted. That's why I'm going all out to deliver value for you here, real insights you can apply to improve your business. And if you really want to help me to reach a wider audience and impact more people, please consider leaving the show a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you leave me a review, please reach out and let me know so I can thank you personally. Please hit the subscribe button and I'll see you next time.